This is a good church to be a part of. It's fun. So we're doing this series called Discover Christmas for the next 4 weeks, as well as Christmas Eve. And Christmas sort of has hit today. Maybe you come to this service because you don't wake up early enough on a Sunday to see the frost, but there was frost today on the ground, which here in the Comox Valley, like, that's almost as good as snow. So it felt very Christmassy when I got up, to have to start my car early and wait for it to clear off and scrape windows and things. But definitely we're there. We're in December. We're moving towards Christmas, and we're doing this series, preparing our hearts to discover Christmas. We were going to call this series Rediscover Christmas because we want to talk about the idea that though we love all of these lights and all of the festivities and all the fun and all of the stuff, though we value all of those things, there's something that's missed if that's all we value about Christmas. If we just value the shopping and the dinners and the whatever you might be part of, if we just enjoy those things or take part in those things and we do nothing else, probably we're going to miss the whole concept of Christmas. And it used to be, maybe we talked about this, maybe it used to be that there was a little more focus given to Jesus within our culture around Christmas, and now that's changed a little bit. And so we were going to call this Rediscover Christmas, but then we realized that actually there's probably many people in this room who have never known Christmas as a time to recognize Jesus, as a time to see him, this baby who came to the earth and changed everything and shifted how we do things and is the reason we now gather. And so whether you've done a million Christmases, whether you've been at church for every Christmas Eve since you were born, whether or not your family has read the Christmas story around the Christmas tree on Christmas morning, whatever your background is, you're welcome to discover Christmas with us, to discover this idea, this concept. Jesus didn't come to the world for a few, but for all who would believe in him, for all that would want to know about him, for all that would welcome him, he showed up. And so we're going to be walking through for the next 4 weeks, and then Christmas Eve also, we're going to be walking through the story of discovering Christmas through probably the first person to ever discover Christmas, Mary. Mary had a front row seat to Christmas showing up. In fact, she for 9 months was probably preparing more than anyone else was for the very first Christmas. You know, you think your preparation for Christmas is big. Mary had to make a baby to make Christmas happen. So Mary had a pretty front row seat to the very first Christmas. And so she walked through the process of discovering what was this all about. And we're going to look at her eyes through her story and her journey and discovering that for the very first time, and see if we can discover it maybe for the very first time as well. Maybe once again, but maybe for the first time. So the next four or five sessions go like this. Today we're going to talk about how Mary went from having reservations to having anticipation. Next week, we're going to talk about how she went from having anticipation to having a celebration. Come on, is that starting to sound pretty good? Next, the following week, celebration to reconciliation, because reconciliation always is a mark of the gospel, always goes with Jesus. It always takes place that way. Reconciliation to devastation, because whether or not you know it, many people in this room actually attribute Christmas and holiday seasons to actually devastating moments in their life. And sometimes we can get this idea that it's all about the happy and the glitzy and all of those things. And when we forget the reality of who Jesus is, we forget that actually Jesus came into devastating circumstances with a family who was walking through devastating things in a devastated culture and said, there is life and there is hope. And so we're excited about that. Reconciliation to devastation, and then Christmas Eve, which I hope you've got a few people that you plan on bringing, we're going to go from devastation to presentation of Jesus Christ. The true discovery, the final discovery that takes place on that morning when Jesus is born. But it all started with a conversation for Mary. Mary was a woman who was living her life like most of us would be. She was just carrying on, doing life fairly normally, I would think. As far as we know, she was a fairly normal woman. She was actually getting ready to be married. And if you've ever been in that place in your life, you know all that you're thinking, all that you're imagining, all that you're dreaming about. And though the cultures are a little bit different, for sure Mary was feeling some of that, recognizing that her and Joseph were getting ready to be married, considering all the things that her family must be thinking because of that, all the things that she would be thinking because of that, imagining their future life, imagining where things could go, imagining Joseph, what was he going to be like as a dad, what was he going to be like as a husband, where were they, what would they do, where would they live, what's it going to look like, will they have a lot of money or not too much. But Mary was dealing with all of these things, and you can imagine her being in a spot of relative excitement, I would think. She was excited for something. She was anticipating something that she didn't know a whole lot about. She was anticipating marriage that she hadn't lived yet, but she had only seen other people live. She was anticipating children that she hadn't had yet, but she had seen other people have kids, but she was just anticipating what she didn't yet know about. However, she was excited. And then God showed up into her story. And he changed everything that she was anticipating. He was going to shape everything about her understanding of the future. And he was going to give her a whole different thing to start to feel anticipation for. And in the same way, she was going to have no idea how it was going to look, how it was going to play out, what was going to take place, how it was going to even happen with her husband-to-be, Joseph, how anything was going to take place. She couldn't have picked her future. She couldn't have known what her future was going to do after God showed up into her life. And we're going to look at how she responds in that moment. Because I think how she responds is what leads her to the place where she's going to discover Christmas, where she's going to experience this for all that it's meant to be. And I think we can learn a lot from how she responds to this interruption that shows up into her life, to this unexpected visitation that takes place. So we're going to look at the story in Luke 1, 26 to 38. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Now, Elizabeth is Mary's relative, and Elizabeth was barren for years. Her husband's a priest, and her husband, for the first time in a long time, sees an angel. You know, these are things from long ago, but something happens. Zechariah, the husband, sees an angel. Angel says, hey, your wife is going to become pregnant. And he's like, what? Are you crazy? My wife is old and barren. Don't say that about her, though, in person. And my wife is old and barren, but he goes home, she becomes pregnant, and because he didn't believe, he can't speak. And that's all happened over here, and we just heard that story in the Bible, but then here all of a sudden comes, 6 months later, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Now, I think if I heard an angel say that, I would feel pretty confident. I think I'd feel pretty good. Wow. Imagine an angel showing up to you. Excuse me. I always picture angels like flaming. I don't know about you, or at least like even like their light is so bright that it sounds like something too. Like, excuse me, so we'll speak over the flames for a second here. Excuse me. And you're highly favored, and the Lord is with you. You can imagine in that moment, like, what? The Lord is with me? You've noticed me, flaming angel? You know me? You know who I am? In fact, this angel probably was pumped to meet Mary. Like, are you serious? This is the one that God has chosen to carry the Son of God, the one that's been prophesied about? What? I'm in the presence of Mary. But Mary's sort of sitting there like, I don't know. For me, I think I would be excited. Like, the Lord knows me. Hey, you're highly favored. What? The Lord is with you. Where? Like, awesome. I can't wait to see him. Show him to me. Am I not enough? You know, I'm Gabriel. But here's Mary's response. Mary was greatly troubled at his words. I like that it says that, at his words. I'm like, which word? You are highly favored and the Lord is with you. Like, which word is so troubling to you? Those all seem exciting to me. Those all seem thrilling. Those all seem like promises. Those all seem like I can stand up in my faith a little bit this week. I can walk stronger. I can feel good. No, she's troubled by his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. To me, it's a nice one. This is a friendly greeting. This is an inspiring greeting. And Mary's like, she's like, hey, Mary, you're highly favored and the Lord is with you. What do you want? Yeah. What are you trying to get from me? I know how you type of things work, okay? You type of angels. I know how you work. You sort of get this impression that Mary's ready to just close the door on this thing right away. Like she's not interested in this thing right away. And I think probably what that comes from is Mary had a plan. She knew where she was going in life. She wasn't just like dating someone and wondering if maybe down the road they might get engaged and maybe down the road they might get married and maybe down the road. No, she is set to be married. She is a fiance. This is the path that she has chosen. Her community would have been around her, pointing her in that direction, planning with her, dreaming with her, expecting with her, anticipating with her. This is where you're going, Mary. I don't know if back then they would have also gotten like giggly, like, oh, Joseph's so cute. I don't know if it would have been like that. But you just imagine, like, this is what's happening in your life. This is what's going on. And you know that if an angel shows up, he's going to change it. He's going to redirect your steps. You'll say, I know that you want, that you're going this way, but I've got something new. And for those who are walking in a terrible direction, the angel shows up and is like, oh, thank the Lord. Finally, I can go in a good way. But she's like, no, I like what's going on here. I appreciate the direction I'm walking. I'm happy with where things are going. I'm happy with my life, my future life, that I'm anticipating deeply with Joseph. I'm happy to do this. So now what do you want? Because I don't know if I'm going to like it as much. Often we handle God's plans for our life that way. I'm not sure if I'm going to like it as much, God, because I'm pretty good at planning my future. I'm pretty good at putting things in front of me that I like, that I want to do, that I'm good at, I'm capable of handling. And God, it seems like throughout history, every time you show up, you put things in front of people that they're not capable of handling, that they're not naturally good at, that they didn't actually want to do, that they wouldn't choose for themselves. And so now, angel, what do you have for me? She could have at that point walked away, right? Mary could have said, no, you know, turned away. I don't know what would have happened then. Too bad, baby Jesus. I don't know. But Mary could have, like, here she's troubled by what the angel is saying. She could have said, no, didn't hear you, didn't see you, flaming angel, and walked away. But her response matters for us. Because if we're going to discover Christmas the way she discovered Christmas, if we're going to experience what we're supposed to experience at Christmas time, if we're going to take part in the awe and wonder of what God has done in this season, we need to learn how to respond as she responds. Mary receives the message. Though she's troubled by the thought of it, though she's worried about what it might say, though she's uncertain about what the angel might say to her if she actually gives him her ear, she does receive the message. See, usually when we talk to God about our future, we prefer to initiate and dictate the conversation, don't we? Like, God, I'd love to talk to you about my future. Here's all the things I'd like. I'd like to have my license by this time. You know, then I'd like to graduate on time, and then I'd like to go to school for this long, or I'd like to pick up this trade, and then I'd like to be married at 28.32 years, and I'd like to have the usual 2.7 kids, and I would like to live for this long, and then, so Lord, if you're God, bless me. And God's like, no, that's you being God, but I want to be God for you. So when we talk to God, Usually we want to dictate where things go and where our future is happening, but God, in the first story of Christmas, shows up to Mary and says, actually, I'm going to tell you about your future. Will you receive it? I'm going to tell you about what I want to do with your life. Will you listen? I'm going to tell you about what I want to accomplish that you could have never accomplished in yourself. Will you hear me on this? I'm going to interrupt the future that you thought you had, the perfect lined up directives that you had for your life. I'm going to interrupt those things. Will you receive the message? The angel shows up. Will you receive the message? And I think today, God is in the same way as saying, I want to help you discover Christmas. I want you to know the awe of what it is to know Jesus Christ this Christmas. I want you to experience the wonder of this incredible thing, but I'm knocking on the door first. I'm sending an angel first. I'm tugging on your heart first, and I'm saying, I'd like to speak to you about your future, and it may radically alter your entire life. Will you listen? And we all have the opportunity to say no at that point. We also all have the opportunity to say yes. And Mary, on her journey to discover Christmas, started with, okay, what is it, angel? I'm listening. But the angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. See, Mary received the message and God conceived the plan. He put it in her. He planted it within her. He started something. I love that God usually doesn't give us the whole plan right away or doesn't give us the outcome right away. Jesus, or God in this point, is speaking with Mary. He says, I'm about to start something in you. Gabriel says, you're about to walk through 9 months of preparation to discover the fullness of what this is all about. In fact, you probably won't understand the fullness of what I'm about to do until you see your son hanging on a cross and dying and then rising from the dead. You won't understand all of this, but just so you know, you are going to conceive a baby. I am going to conceive a baby within you. You received the message. Now I'm conceiving this dream and I'm getting it ready and I'm getting it going and I'm going to plant it within you and it's going to be amazing. You can imagine Mary just like, excuse me? What are you even talking about? I don't know if you know how this works, but I am a virgin. This can't happen in me. Isn't it interesting that we quickly like to tell God all the reasons why his plan won't work as well as our plan? God, I already know what I'm going to do in my life. I'm going to do this, 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 and this. All you have to do is bless those things and I'll be happy, which is the point of my life. Right, God? Because I'm going to do something radically different. It's going to be good. Will you trust me? We believe it with me. Isn't it true that we often want to let God be God and do God things, and I'll be me and do me things, and then we'll meet in heaven sometime later, God? I remember I had this person in my life when I was a young guy. She was an elder in the church that I grew up in. And she always would come up to me and talk to me about my potential and how I should be rising up to all of these leadership positions. It was really quite annoying. And she would always want to say, hey, do you know that you should be walking this way? Evan, I think you could be doing this. Evan, I think you can be leading this. I remember even like coming to church and I'd be sitting up there and we'd do this like conference thing and she'd get up and she'd be sharing and then she'd like point to me, Evan, you're called to this. I'm like, shh, come point someone else already. Like, stop that. Because I just wanted to do my life. You know, I wanted to do the way I wanted to do it. There were some schooling things that I wanted to do. There were some, I wanted a different career than ministry. She'd be like, you should be in full-time ministry. I'm like, no, I shouldn't. I see who won in that battle, by the way. I don't want all those things. That's fine if God gave me all these gifts and stuff. I'll use them in different ways. And God can meet me here and bless me here and do this in me. And so I'm going to keep going this way. And you can keep talking about my potential and whatever and leadership. But in fact, I'm just going to start avoiding you. So I did. I'd come in, I'd be like, and try to avoid this person because she always wanted to tell me about all the things that I could do. And I felt like, no, I believe in God. I believe he's going to do some great things. I believe he can do some great things. And I believe that I'm capable and able and I can do some great things myself. And so why don't we both just do our great things? And she was always talking about, and this seems to be talking about, God not just doing great things for us and for the world, and not just about us doing great things for God. And for Christmas story is about God saying, I want to plant myself within you for a greater purpose than you could ever know. He never stopped doing that. Jesus talked about that later. He says, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. He who is in you? Yes. Who's in me? God, if you'll let him. His Holy Spirit would come live in you. This was God's plan and purpose. It started here. Before that, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come onto people and they'd have powerful moments and then it would be gone. But in this moment, we see that God saying, Mary, God could have done this by himself, by the way. If God can make a virgin pregnant, he also could have made a baby pop out of nothing, right? Okay, we need baby Jesus. Give me baby Jesus. Bling, up he comes. Jesus, God could have done it in a whole lot of ways. He could have got Jesus a better bed to sleep in. He could have got Jesus more rich parents. He could have got Jesus, you know, a little bit more stuff figured out. He could have made Jesus show up as a teenager or adult so that he'd have a voice in society and not risk like sin. Like, I don't know, he could have done all of these things a little bit differently, but God was not like, well, I'm doing my thing over here and Mary, you do your thing over here. God was saying Christmas is about and discovering Christmas is about learning that I want to come and plant something inside of you that will be so much greater than you, that you will walk in a new way that you had no idea how to do it. Mary, you think that the only way you're going to have a baby is by no longer becoming a virgin, you know, by sleeping with someone. I'm telling you that it's going to happen through the power of God. And not only that, but your baby is going to be so much greater than any other baby you could have had. He's going to change the world because he is God in flesh. And God is still saying to us today, if you want to discover the fullness, I want to enter in. I want to come in to your life, into your heart. And you may think that's as foreign as Mary thought it was that this angel was saying she was about to have a baby. But God is still the same, saying, will you let me work with you? This isn't God doing his own things where we say, God, would you just change that life? And you know, we do that with God, don't we? God, would you just make my cranky neighbor nicer? Amen. He's like, yeah, sure, I'll put my spirit in you and you're going to go get them flowers. I said, you do it, God. I will. In my favorite way, through you. Worship team, you can come on up. So Mary received, God conceived, and then Mary believed. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail. At this point, Mary has another option. She had the option at the beginning of whether or not she wanted to hear the message from God. Am I willing to put my future on the line to listen to this angel? Because once I've heard it, I can't go back. I know that I'm walking in disobedience once I've heard it, but if I just, ignorance is different than disobedience. If I just ignore the voice of God or ignore this angel, then I can't be disobedient to this angel. So she, at the beginning, she had the option to just not receive the message. Hello, Mary, you're highly favored and the Lord is with you. Aren't the flowers lovely? And walk away. But no, she said, okay, I'll engage, I'll listen, I'll hear you. What do you have to say? He says, okay, You've received, here's the message you're meant to receive. You're going to have a baby, even though you're a virgin. The baby is going to change the world and be the Son of God. Mary has another option. Whether or not she'll believe. You know, I think that's where some of the greatest work of God gets stunted. Because God says, hey, I got something for you. Usually doesn't show up as an angel in my life. Probably not yours either. But you're reading the Bible and some words stick out to you. You're talking to a friend and they say, I think God's speaking to you. You're driving in your car and this thought that you didn't have, you all of a sudden you feel like, is God speaking to me? You start to hear his voice, start to hear him talking, and it starts painting a picture of you. But of you living a life that is beyond you, living a life that is bigger than you, living a life that is harder than you've ever lived, living a life that doesn't exactly line up with the future that you thought your future should be. And as God starts painting that picture for you, you start saying, that can't be me. Here's all the reasons why. God conceived an idea, but you wouldn't believe it. But Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. Mary received, God conceived, Mary believed. I wonder what thing God has spoken over your life that you haven't believed he could do through you. I wonder if it's a bigger thing than having the Son of God planted inside of your body, growing as a baby, and birthing the reason for Christmas. I'm going to guess it's probably not bigger than that. God is calling you today, I think, to discover Christmas. God is calling you to receive the anticipation that he might want to put in your heart for what could happen. The video we saw at the beginning of the bumper and the idea of Mary here, both, like, God doesn't just come and say, there's a baby, take care of it. He says, I've got this idea. I've got this dream, Mary. I've been working on it for a while, actually. And here's what's going to take place. You're going to have a baby. No, not yet. Not just yet. I mean, you've got 9 months still. You're going to have a baby. And that baby is going to be, it's just going to be amazing. This is going to be the child that everyone's waiting. This is going to be the Messiah that everyone looks at. You're the virgin that the prophets used to speak of. Oh, this is going to be special. I can't wait to do this. And Mary at first was so resistant. She had her reservations, but her reservations turned into anticipation. Because she switched from deciding that probably she wasn't the one to believing the words of God and recognizing that if he wanted to make her the one, she'd be the one. Whew, what would that change? In one moment, I went from anticipating my marriage with Joseph and living a relatively normal, happy life to becoming the mom of the Savior of the world. Wow. Imagine her growing with that baby. Imagine how she'd start to look forward to what could happen. I know God's probably not, for most of you, going to plant a baby within you. But I do believe he's planting dreams. I do believe he's planting vision for what this Christmas season could be. I do believe he's planting ideas of who you can be and what you're called to. I do believe he's planting things within you about how this world could look different, how this city could look different, planting solutions in you for how to take care of things that no one seems to understand, how to take care of, how to look after those that no one seems to look after. He's planting those things in you. You say, well, I don't have all the answers yet. And he's just saying, will you believe that I do? And start down this path. It's all that Mary does in this moment. She says, I believe that if you're doing it, it's good. And I can trust him. And as we enter this Christmas season, I think that's the first step that you need to take in discovering Christmas, is you need to get in a place where you say, I will receive whatever God has for me. I'll allow him to conceive whatever he wants to conceive in me. And I'll believe that he's going to give me everything I need to carry it out. And today, as you walk out this Christmas season, I just want to pray for you. If you choose that will be your stance, that will be your heart, that maybe God wants to do something different in you even this season than a great family dinner or some really tasty sugar cookies. But he wants to plant something new in you to help you discover Christmas. I just want to pray for you. If you say that's me, I want to be in this space where I would be anticipating something from God. And how I'm going to get myself in that space is to receive a message, if he has it for me, to allow him to conceive a dream or a plan, if he's got that for me, and then believe that it is good. That's all God's asking for today. If that's your heart, would you just open your heart to him? Maybe even open your hands to him as I pray for you. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you can see more than we can see. Thank you that you can recognize more of what's going on than what we can recognize. And Lord, we anticipate all sorts of things that we think are really big and exciting and great. And in fact, sometimes the life you have for us or the plans you have for us actually seems much less than those things. And Lord, would you open our eyes to recognize, as Mary had to have her eyes open to recognize, that the plans you have for us, though they may veer us off our plans for ourselves, that they are good. Today I pray that you would elevate our faith to believe it. To believe it, not to run away when the angel shows up, not to run away when the voice of God starts telling us to move in a different direction, not to run away when we start hearing you ask us to do something that we don't want to do, to forgive that person we don't want to forgive, to give financially to that thing we don't want to give to, Lord, to whatever it is, Lord, show us how to believe. Teach us how to believe, because we want to discover Christmas this year, the fullness of it. The greatness of it, the awe and the wonder of Jesus Christ coming to this planet. Help our hearts be ready. Help us to believe there's something good and to look forward to. In Jesus' name we pray, and anyone who believes it says, amen. Amen. Come on, God is good. God is doing something. He's here. He's moving. And this Christmas season, expect to discover him. I want to encourage you, if you're new here and you want to fill out a Connect card, there's one right in front of you. Let us know who you are. We'd love to walk this journey with you, but let's together get ready to discover Christmas. Have a great week.